He should have seen it coming. But she was just so darn pretty. Love can make you blind, like that. Andy met up with Lou Sinclair in New Orleans a little over a year ago. Lou's keyboard player had a side gig over at Tipitina's. Lou and the rest of the band, the Gentlemen Cowboys, were in the audience having a few beers and enjoying the music. Andy, well, she asked Lou to slow dance. By the end of the night, her demo was in Lou's shirt pocket. He should have known right there what the story was, but it was already too late. He was that much in love. And now, she dumped him. 5 minutes ago, to be exact, the day before the last stop of the tour. This was an important show for Lou, too. It was at Falls Fest, one of the biggest country music festivals in the world. With a third national tour under their belts and a new album, Lou and the Cowboys were poised on the precipice of stardom. This Falls Fest appearance, in front of 40,000 of the world's most enthusiastic country fans, could be the one to break them. Now, Andy broke his heart instead, just a day before their big chance. Lou stared into his open suitcase. His white Stetson rested beside it on the unrumpled hotel bed. He shifted his gaze to the uneaten room service on the desk, just beyond it. Two cups of coffee, one with Andy's rose lipstick on the rim, just a few sips emptier than when they were poured. The air conditioner rattled on with the rusty metallic rasp of a trash can with a bad cold. Its uncoordinated rattle insulted Lou's ear and sense of rhythm. Its cold blasts of air gave him shivers. He rubbed his hands to warm them, then tossed his lucky socks into his suitcase. They landed with an inconsequential thud. Yeah, he should have known better. He'd kicked around the music business for 2 decades, honing both his Hank Williams covers and his Jimi Hendrix virtuosity in small venues and even smaller recording studios. By now, his music was as natural as a cold beer on a sunny afternoon, with a dog snoozing at your feet. He should have seen Andy coming. He caught his reflection in the hotel mirror. You might call what he saw a hangdog face, turtle dove eyes that had seen enough misery to belong to a cynic, but enough love to nourish a romantic. Now, courtesy of Andy, they'd seen a little more of both. Yes, he'd been foolish to think a woman as young and bewitching as Andy could really fall for a guy like him. Then again, he was not an unattractive man, and both of his grandfathers had been 20-odd years older than their wives. So the age difference wasn't an entirely taboo concept to him. Of course, that was another time, and those men had lived in small Texas towns where the dating pool was limited. If you fussed over a little thing like age, you might never get married at all. So Lou hadn't thought twice about Andy's affection. Of course she loved him. She said so. And of course he passed her demo on to the people he trusted who could do her some good. And now, of course, she didn't need him anymore. So she'd called it quits. He should have seen it coming. Lou tipped his Stetson to the driver as he climbed into the Gentleman Cowboys van. Gary Schroeder, the ever-punctual bass player, was taking the first shift at the wheel on the considerable drive to the festival. Gary was a Germanic straight razor of a man, just as thin and not a rounded line on him. Lou sometimes startled when Gary reached overhead or bent low to handle luggage or a monitor. Despite the fact that the sensible Gary always lifted with his legs, Lou feared the youth would snap in two from the burden. It was an illusion. Gary was actually quite sturdy. It was just his stature that made him seem slight, his head perched far up in the atmosphere like an eagle in its eyrie or a fasting mountaintop saint. Lou chose the seat right behind Gary because the analytical 33-year-old was clever at crossword puzzles. Lou removed his Stetson and placed it on the seat next to him. He opened his attaché case, removed a puzzle book, and settled back, hoping the crossword would distract him from his woes. His concentration on 42 down, his age and mood, was disrupted by the gleeful shouts of the band's Irish drummer, Finbar Mitchell, as he bounded toward the van. Mitch, as most people called him, wore a cheesehead, a large foam hat resembling a wedge of orange cheese popular with cartoon mice and Green Bay Packer fans. Flips and spikes of wavy hair stuck out from under the cheesehead. His chin sported a perpetual 3-day growth of beard. He had that musician's poetic scruffiness that many women find irresistible.